Is tonight Ephesians chapter 3, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, I want to talk to you tonight about some good lessons of life I've learned. I think you've also learned many of those lessons. Let's stand and read Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I'll read, you follow along. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, a time to die. Time to plant, time to pluck up that which is planted, time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, time to mourn, and time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing. I'm going to put that up there when I start giving the invitation. You girls and guys start hugging each other. That's time to refrain from embracing. I'm trying to get something to you, and you're hugging on them, and I'm trying to think of what I'm supposed to do up there. It makes me feel like I want to go hug mine. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. A time to get, and a time to lose. You never know how good it is to have something till you lose it, amen? I was looking for my pen tonight. I said, good night. I was writing, realized I was sitting at my desk at home and writing some things. A time to get, a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. My son, Corey, came home and helped me clean my basement. And ever since the thing happened about 4 years ago, that has just been kind of the tomb down in there. And so he thought it'd be a good idea to clean her up. Boy, I sure miss a lot of those things I used to have. Amen. Time to rend and time to sow. Time to keep silent. Time to speak. Time to love. Time to hate. Time of war. And time of peace. Father, I pray you'd speak to our hearts tonight, Lord God, and help us to be reminded of the things that you would have us to learn in this life. Many, many people have learned a lot of things. Many have disdained learning. And many are unwilling to listen and to adhere to the things that are taught to them in the Word of God. Lord, help that not to be our church and our people. Help us to learn everything we can in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. My son and I were out working on his boat, and that's pretty near all we did. I was there for 2 weeks. He's got what they call a feather craft. Anybody know what a feather craft is? It's a aluminum boat made down in, Atlanta. And it's very popular down there. And it's kind of like a Harley club. It's kind of like a Model T club or whatever. They will come together once a year with all the guys and showing off their boat. Corey thought it'd be a great idea to buff that boat out. I'm telling you what, it looks like a mirror. It's the most amazing thing. I think it worked great for fishing, because when they're out fishing, them fish are going to see their reflection and think there's more fish, and so they'll come right up to that thing, amen. But as we're working in, he was asking me a couple things, and I was telling him about a missionary that I'd met a long time ago, and we were talking about everything. And he said, Dad, he said something about people that get remarried and stuff. And I said, I was talking to a friend of mine, Charlie Vest. Charlie Vest went to the mission field with us, with Doug Kalap, and we put on a mission conference over in Callinog, on the island of Panay. And Charlie grabbed a hold of me one afternoon, and we sat down. He said, "I got to ask you a couple questions, Brother Sear." I said, "Well, what's going on?" His wife had just died. His wife was coming home from her dad's funeral, and a car hit her and killed her, and I think killed somebody else with them. Very heartbreaking deal. Charlie and her were lovebirds. They just loved each other. Anyway, he said, "Brother Sheer," he said, "I'm thinking about getting married again." I said, "Good, yeah, good for you. What, you know, if that's what you want, that's great, you know." And he said, "But I'm really not sure about what the kids are thinking, all that." Well, I said, "Why don't you do what the Bible says?" And he looked at me and said, "What do you mean?" Well, I said, "When Abraham, his wife,
Sarah,
passed, he married again. Her name was Kintara." And I said, "In that, he gave everything that he had and he owned to his son Isaac and started off anew," the Bible says. And I think that, I said, "Charlie," I said, "I think that's a good idea." I said, "That'll keep your kids from," and I'm trying to teach you something here, all right? Listen to me now. I said, "That'll keep your kids from feeling like, the new wife, the new woman has taken everything of mama's." And I said, "They'll accept that more if you do it the Bible way." And he said, "I never heard of that." Well, I said, "It's in the Bible." And so Charlie did do that, and he's married to a wonderful lady. We've had him here, 2 years ago. And they got a little baby girl and cute little thing. And so there's a lot of things in life you ought to learn. There's a lot of things you ought to, when you're reading the Bible, sometimes it just doesn't click sometimes. But you're still reading the Bible. There's still Bible knowledge in the Word of God. I'm afraid for a lot of people that they read their Bible and they just keep on. I take notes all the time when I'm reading my Bible. I got a pack of notes for sermons on my computer. I have a file that's WKSER, which means work on sermons. And I've got, I don't know how many. Oh, my goodness. I ain't even going into it. But anyway, there's some thoughts that God gives you on the way, and you ought to take those things. Well, I want to talk to you about some things I've learned. A preacher and his assistant pulled up to the church same time, beautiful sunny morning, sunny morning, after a beautiful rain like this morning. And they were greeting one another, and all of a sudden, right on the front porch, there was an old frog. A big old frog. And it jumped up the steps. And the frog looked right at the pastor and said, "If you kiss me, I'll turn into a beautiful princess." Now, the pastor just lost his wife about a couple years ago. And the pastor just reached down and picked up that old frog and put it in his suit pocket and went into his office. And the assistant pastor went to his office. But it wasn't long. The assistant pastor, he was pondering about that frog. And the more he thought about it, the more he wanted to say something. He couldn't stand it any longer. So he went into the pastor's office and he said, "Pastor, why didn't you kiss that frog and have yourself a beautiful new princess?" Pastor slowly reached into his pocket and sat that old frog on his desk. And looked at it, and he said, "Son, at my age, I think I'd rather have a talking frog." I want you to listen to the wisest man that ever lived on this earth. In Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 24, he said, "There is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy the good of his labor. For this also I saw, that it was from the hand of God." Then go over chapter 3 and verse 13. "And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of his own labor. It is the gift of God." Verse 22. "Wherefore, I perceive that there is nothing better This is the wisest man, said I. He said, I perceive. I thought about this. I've made a science about this. I've tried everything. I've seen everything. He said, wherefore, I perceive that there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his own works, for that is his portion. For who shall bring him to see what shall be after him? Chapter 5, verse 18, if you turn there, please. Chapter 5, verse 18. Behold, that which I have seen, it is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor, that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him, for this is his portion. Ecclesiastes 9:9. Live joyfully with a wife whom thou lovest all the days of thy life, of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun all the days of vanity. For that is thy portion in this life, and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. The wisest man in the world, now, you know, we're excluding Jesus Christ. You understand that. I'm talking about that had a father, a human father and a human mother. Jesus Christ had a human mama. He didn't have a human father. He says, the wisest man says, I'll tell you what you're going to get in this life. You're going to get the food that you eat, and the love of your wife. That's all you're getting. That's kind of astounding, isn't it? Because I've heard some people said, he who dies with the most toys win. That's not where the fun is. You have all the motorcycles in you want in the garage you want, but if you don't ride them, there ain't no fun. You can have all the hopped up pickups and hot rod cars, and you can have all that stuff. That doesn't bring you happiness, because you're always worrying about somebody going to scratch that thing. You're always worrying about going to have a flat tire. You're always going to worry about something happening, somebody stealing something. That's not going to make you happy. But God said, the happiest you'll ever be is what you eat. As you can tell, I attest to that, amen. And I'm glad, thank you, whoever that. And the love of your wife. The Bible said, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. And I love this. This is chapter 18, verse 22. Gentlemen, you ought to have that written in your Bible, written someplace. He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. So it's worth, like I told you a couple weeks ago, some of you guys thought that you go buy a box of Cracker Jacks and get the prize out of that. That's how you got married. Boy, I see something, I just think, I'm going to hope that I get the good prize out of that. I've never got a good prize out of Cracker Jacks. Anybody ever got a good prize out of Cracker Jacks? Anybody? Ah. But you go see something, you go look at something, you check something out, and you make sure it's good and it'll work and it'll last a long time, you're going to be one happy person. So he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Now let me tell you something. You take real good care of that wife. Because God said, you'll obtain favor of the Lord because who she is. Ladies, I think that's a great responsibility on your shoulder. But I'll tell you what, it is a greater responsibility of the man, because the Bible says that she is a weaker vessel. You must be so careful with her. You must protect her in every way, shape, and form there is. I want to talk to you about some things I've learned. I've learned the best classroom in the world is sitting at the feet of an elderly person. I get around some people, and all they do is jack their jaw. I used to go to pastors' conference and things, and these young preachers, they're jacking their jaw. And here's an old gentleman that's probably been in the ministry 50, 60 years, And he's just sitting there listening. And they don't ask him a thing. Take that old grandpa out to dinner. Sit down with him. And learn everything you can from him. You'll notice that this preacher has a lot of older preachers come to this church and preach. There's a reason for that. Number one, I didn't bring him here for you. I brought him here for me. When Brother Rudy comes, when Brother Bobby Brown comes, he ain't come for you. You just getting the stuff. You're getting this overflow from what I get. I want to be around old people. Unfortunately, my old people are leaving me, and I is now one of them things. But be around elderly person. Sit, listen to them. They got something to tell you. Quit jacking your jaw. Shut up. Listen to them. Quit telling them how good you are and what you're doing. Ask them, hey, how did you do this? What did you do that? How did you get this? How'd that? Secondly, I've learned that when you're in love, it shows. When you're in love, it shows. You don't have to tell it. I hear a lot of people on Facebook telling how much they love who and who are. They got a new profile picture and the new someone in their life. What do they call it? New. You don't want to answer me because then I'd say, but what is that? New. I'm in a new relationship. No kidding. Duh. We knew that before you knew it. I've learned that when you're in love, it shows. I got to tell you a real sweet thing. My wife and I were coming home from South Carolina. And if you've ever rode that flight from Atlanta to Salt Lake, it's a long, brutal flight. And I don't know where they did with the cushions on that airplane, but there was no cushions on that airplane. And even though this old fat guy was sitting there, there was no cushion, I'll tell you what. And I had a fat guy sitting next to me, and I couldn't even, move around a little bit. Y'all know about that, right? Thank God for you little people that come to sit beside me. I'm happy. This old boy came sat in the bed behind me the other day. I said, hey, I'm glad you're here. Because this big old boy come in there, man, he looked like he played tackle for the Giants. But anyway. Anyway, I thought that I'd help her out, so I gave her some Advil PM. Advil PM, I hardly ever take it, but once in a while, I'm just so exhausted, I take a couple of those, and I go to lullaby, man. I'll go, whoosh, and it doesn't take me long to go to sleep anyway, but every once in a while. And so I gave her two. I said to the stewardess, I said, give me a glass of water for my wife. She wants to take a pill. She said, yeah. So I gave her two of them. She took them down. In about 5 minutes, I thought I'd given her speed. There is an adverse reaction. And I mean, she was pinging for the next 2 hours on that Salt Lake trip. Oh, my goodness sakes alive. Woo! I'm telling you. We got it out of that plane. And, well, first of all, that big guy, he wouldn't get up. He just sat there. Well, you don't do that on a plane. Get up, man. Get into the aisle. But he sat there. And she was getting a little anxious. That's the word for it, anxious, And she'd stay. All right. Well, then when we finally did get up, she about went over top of the people and went outside. Amen. But the thrill and the spills of riding with Preacher and Marcia. Amen. But I'll tell you a sweet thing. We got to Great Falls and I pushed her wheelchair up the elevator, and she looked up at me with the sweetest eyes and said, thank you for taking me. I thought for sure Mama was back. That was incredible. Hey, I've learned that if you're in love, it shows. I've learned that just one person saying to me, you made my day, makes my day. I've learned that having a child fall asleep in your arms is one of the most peaceful feelings in the world. Old Clyde can attest to that beautiful little girlie. Mother Terry. I've learned that it is, that being kind is more important than being right. Who cares? Who cares? I'm not talking about doctrine stuff. I'm just talking about at home. I'm just talking about things that happen with mom and daddy, and she's going to make sure that she's got the last say. I think there's something in the Bible about having a roast ox and so on and so forth, and boisterous. I've learned that being kind is more important than being right. I've learned that you should never say no to the gift of a child. Pastor Dion, who used to pastor the Fairview Baptist Church, had a birthday, I think, like January 20th. Mine's the 20th, and his is the 26th, and mine's the 20th, something like that. And he invited me to a birthday party that they were having at the kindergartner over at Treasure State. And the little children had made little appetizers for us. And so we were just enjoying ourselves, and a little girl came up, and she had some peanut butter on salary. There's nothing greater and more wonderful than salary and peanut butter. And I just made a pig of myself. I maybe ate two or three of those things. And all of a sudden she said, "Pastor Shear, I made them myself." I said, "Wow." I said, "How did you make them?" She said, "I took my toothbrush and cleaned them." What'd you do? I didn't eat anymore. I've learned that I can always pray for someone when I don't have the strength to help him or her in some other way. I've learned that no matter how serious your life requires you to be, everybody needs a friend to act goofy with. I had a little deal the other day, and I wrote to one of my grandsons that said something about if people heard our conversation, if people heard our private conversation, they would put us in the nut house. That's what I said. I've learned that sometimes all a person needs is a hand to hold and a heart to understand. That situation happened today, and my friend came to me and said something to me, and I said, "You know what? It's okay. It is okay." Now, I think it'd be a bad thing if you get caught in something bad a lot. But if somebody lies to you and you go about do something and all of a sudden you find out it's not good, then I would be very careful that I never got caught in that position again. Amen? I've learned that simple walk with my father down the lane or back to the woods on a summer night when I was a child did wonders for me as an adult. I remember one day it was going to rain. And my dad said, "Son, we got to get out in that hayfield and we got to put the hay bales." We'd hit the hay bales like a little teepees out in the middle of, because if that water soaks in, it ruins the hay. And so we went out there and we got it all done. He said, "Sit down here." So I sat down. He said, "Have you ever learned how to whistle with your hand?" I said, "No." And he put his hand together like this and he blew it. And I said, "Wow, that's cool." And he said, "How about doing this?" And I learned to whistle with my hand and with my lips. You know, I put my dirty fingers in my mouth like Sherry does, but I learned how to whistle on an old hay bale with my dad. Oh, I'm going to tell you something. That simple walk with my father down that old lane and back to the woods on a summer night was a child did wonders for my adult life. I'm learning that life is like a roll of paper. The closer it gets to the end, the farther it goes. I learned that we should be glad God doesn't give us everything we ask for. Shall I say that again? I'm glad that God does not give us everything we ask for. I've learned that money does not buy class. It does not buy class. I've learned that it's those small daily happenings that make life so spectacular. I've learned that under everyone's hard shell is someone who wants to be appreciated and loved. Most of the people are hurting so bad they don't know how to act. I've learned that the Lord didn't do it all in one day. What makes me think I can? I've learned that to ignore the facts does not change the facts. I'd like to talk to some of these presidential runners who think that they can hide their emails and everything like that, and they want to ignore it. I've learned that to ignore the facts does not change the facts. I've learned that when you plan to get even with someone, you are only letting that person continue to hurt you. Listen to me now. I've learned that love, not time, heals all wounds. I've learned that the easiest way for me to grow as a person is to surround myself with people that are smarter than I am. I've learned that everyone you meet deserves to be greeted with a smile. Ori came over to help me a little bit yesterday so I could go get some groceries. And she said, "Preacher, we just don't like it when you're gone from church." She said, "Church is great. Brother Reek, man, he preached great. Brother Jane preached great." She said, "Just something about you, when you walk into that pulpit, the thing just brightens up." And I said, "Yeah, I like that." He went. So remember, that everyone you meet deserves a greeted by a smile. I just love doing it. I smile at people. I'm at the airport. I love being at the airport. I love being at the airport. And I look at people, and they're walking by, and I just smile at them. Guess what they do to me? I mean, they smile back. We were at the airport Salt Lake, and we had 4 hours to wait. Marcia thought she should push her wheelchair around. Only two people. But anyway, and this lady come up, she's smiling, and the lady said, "Well, hi, how are you?" Marcia said, "Hi, how are you?" They thought, you know, the conversation's going to start. Where are you from? I ain't say anything. All right, leave it alone, man. All right, leave it alone. Finally, this lady looks at me and goes like, and I says, "Hi, ma'am. I'm Pastor Shear from Great Falls." "Oh, I'm from Great Falls, too. I know you. You're the pastor of the Heritage Baptist Church." I said, "Yes, ma'am." And Marcia found a new friend. It was quite cute. I've learned that everyone you meet deserves to be greeted with a smile. I've learned there's nothing sweeter than sleeping with your grandbabies and feeling the breath on your cheek. I've learned that no one is perfect until you fall in love with them. What's so funny about that? All right. I've learned that life is tough, but I'm tougher. Life is tough, but I'm tougher. Boy, there's a lot of people complaining about hangnails and toenails and complaining about this and that. Man, just get on and fix this stinking thing. Get on with life. Be a man about it. Be a real lady about it. Be a real teenager. I've learned the opportunities are never lost. Someone will take the one you miss. I can tell you time and time again, people that were called to the ministry just walked away from it, but God used some of us that, well, just used us. I've learned that when you harbor bitterness, happiness will dock elsewhere. Don't you be bitter. Don't you get upset with people. Get on with life. Get on with life. Well, they just don't like me. Well, maybe there's a reason for it. Not everybody is going to be your friend. You can be their friend, but they don't have to be your friend. Think of that. I've learned that I wish that I had told my mom that I loved her one more time before she passed away. I just wished. I've learned that one should choose his words both soft and tender, because tomorrow you might have to eat them. I've learned that a smile is an inexpensive way to improve your looks. I've learned that you can't choose how you feel, but you can choose what I do about it. I've learned when your newly born grandchild holds your little finger in his little fist, that you're hooked for life. I've learned that everyone wants to live on the top of the mountain, but all that happens and the happiness of growth occurs when you're climbing it. I was reading a documentary about climbing K2 in the, over by Nepal there. It was actually the Pakistan side. And a group of men had already died. And they couldn't make the summit. And the news reporter was talking to the one of the climbers who had given his life to climb. Lost a couple of his friends just that day. And he said, the enjoyment is not meeting the summit. The joy is coming down with all your fingers on all your toes so you can climb again. I think sometimes we as Christians, I think that's a good illustration. Sometimes we think that we just have to get to the top. Why don't you enjoy the ride? Mount Marsh and I, when we used to travel together, we did some really stupid stuff. We went to places that, you know, we got this Miami trip into the Bahamas for $99. How many ever heard about that? It happens. You can do it, but it's pretty scary. And, you know, we paid her $99, but then they wanted another $99, and they wanted another $99, and they wanted another $99. Shoot, we could have gone on there for just regular instead of having to listen to all that promotion. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. The idea was that when that was happening, the first kind of shake in the boat of our trip was, hey, that's not what they said. And I said to Marcia, I said, let's enjoy the adventure. And we started laughing about that. And then my brother-in-law and sister-in-law, Deb and Brian, they went along with us. And now, and it used to be when we used to travel together, well, this is a great adventure. We don't know where it's going. We don't know where it's coming back. But we're sure having a good adventure, amen. I've learned that it is best to give advice in only two circumstances. Number one, when it's requested. And number two, when it is a life-threatening situation. Nothing else. And I've learned that the less time I have to work with, more things I get done. I'll say that one more time. I've learned that the less time I have to work with, the more things I get done. Father in heaven, I pray you'd speak to our hearts tonight. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this wonderful portion of scriptures. The scripture says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die and a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep. A time to laugh. A time to mourn. And a time to dance, and a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, a time to lose, a time to keep, a time to cast away, a time to rend, a time to sow, a time to keep silent, and a time to speak. A time to love, time to hate, time of war, and time of peace. Oh God, I pray you'd help us tonight as we've mentioned a few things, just to jog our memory and our mind that we ought to live close to you. And Lord, learn how to love one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Thank you, Lord God, that you've forgiven us, we would forgive others. Lord, help us as we travel down this road of adventure that you've given us. Many, Lord God, are in the way of treachery. Storms are ahead. God, I pray you'd help us to trust in you. Help us to put our complete trust in you. And Lord, help us not to trust this world to help us. Help us to put our trust completely in you. Lord, I pray that you'd help us as we go about our business this week. Lord, be with those who are mourning. May we mourn with them. For those who laugh, let us laugh with them. Those who are in misery, let us be there at their side and put our arm around about them and let them know that we love them and that we could, if whatever we have, we'll help them. Lord, help us to be on the giving side instead of always the receiving side. Help us to be the one who is looking to help others instead of looking for others to help them. Lord, you are a great God. Oh, how can a man make it in this old world without you, as I have no idea. But I knew one thing. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. Bless his service. Lord, I pray there be anyone here today, not sure they're saved, not sure they're on their way to heaven, that today would be the day that they accept you as their Savior. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, you're here tonight. And you say, preacher, I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure I'm saved. I don't know if I'd die today, I'd go to heaven. Would you please pray for me right now? I'd like to know that for certain tonight. Would you lift your hand? Just put your hand up and say, that's me, preacher. I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I'd sure like to know that. Can I pray for you? Maybe you're here tonight and you say, preacher, I'm going through some pretty difficult times. In fact, I don't even know which way is up. Pray for me, will you? God bless you. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Lord, have your perfect will tonight. Speak to our hearts, Lord God, as we go about your business. Oh, God, help us to cling upon you. Help us to read our Bible. Help us to pray. Help us to beg you, Lord God, for help in time of need. Oh, God, we're desperate for wisdom. We're desperate for need. to be filled. Well, I pray, Lord, you'd meet that. Be with those who are sick, those who cannot do things for themselves anymore. Help us, Lord, to be on the lookout to help others. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.